Now they are all making namaz, salah behind that one imam, and what a beautiful scene. With regard to that, just in passing, two friends, a Muslim and a non-Muslim, were watching live TV in America of the Hajj time, this time which we are in now. And they were showing just before salah time. And we know that in the haram everywhere, people, how they said, somebody with their legs stretched out, somebody facing this side, somebody having made a group, whatever else it is. So this Muslim friend asked the non-Muslim that prayers, salat is going to start just now. So, and the safs, the rows have to be absolutely straight. So what do you think about how long will it take to straighten the safs? He looked at the number of people, the crowd. He says about 15-20 minutes will be required. He told him, but remember there is a basement also, the ground floor, the first floor and the roof also. He said, oh, then about 45 minutes will be required, 1 hour. As the imam stood up just now, as the imam said, صَفُّوا صُفُوفَكُمْ, straighten yourselves, فَإِنَّ تَصْرِيَةَ الصُّفُوفِ مِنْ إِقَامَةِ الصَّلَاةِ. The straightening of the safs is the perfect, is from amongst the perfection of namaz, that your salah is perfect. So when that announcement was made, immediately all the safs became straight. That non-Muslim was so overtaken, he accepted Islam immediately. That on this one announcement, and really we don't understand, every salah of ours is a manifestation of a great miracle. Whoever we are, you may be the richest man in town, you may be the poorest man, you may be a white, handsome man, you may be a dark person with not so good features. Whoever you are, when we come for salah, all in one saf. There is no segregation, you are allowed to first saf, you must stand at the back. You must stand here. No, all as you come, according to how early you have come, you find your place, you stand. And we all standing. In fact, one very beautiful poem of our Shaykh, the Rahmatullah Ali, that it is the karam, it is the mu'jiza, the miracle of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he made the king and the slave stand in one row. Today also it is an impossibility. And in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when there was so much variation in the social structures of people, or ordinary person, there was slavery. A slave was regarded, they was treated worse than an animal also. But Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made that slave and the king all stand shoulder by shoulder. And in Hajj, again, everyone, you can be the biggest king of the world, you can be the biggest saint in the world, the biggest wali, and you can be the biggest sinner, all will be wearing the same ihram. All will appear to be the same. So this equality of Islam, there is a great manifestation. Our salah is a great miracle. There is more greater training, perfection, perfect training in our salah than what military training you get. Yeah, the imam, he just says, Allahu Akbar, and everyone now leaves whatever he was doing. We might be having a discussion, somebody is making wudu, he finishes his wudu also, abdas quickly, and he comes to the masjid quickly, and all behind the imam. One Allahu Akbar, and all are gone in ruku. And a fascinating thing, this is all in Arabic. And most of us don't know Arabic. But we know that now it is time to go in ruku. Sami Allahu liman hamida. All stand up. What military training there is in here. Also from this understand the perfection, and that we must copy our deen as it has been given to us by Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There are some people who are of the opinion, for example, the khutbah must be in the language the people understand. It seems on face value, it seems a nice argument, then the people understand what is being said in the khutbah, but though there is a tabadul, there is a thing in place of it. You translate the khutbah before the bayan, what you're going to make your khutbah, you discuss that, you explain it to the people. But if the khutbah was in the language the people understood, we know there is international travel. Always, perhaps in our gathering, wherever we are, there is a foreigner also. So there may be a Chinese man, a Muslim, but he doesn't know what's happening. You're talking Afrikaans, you're talking English, he doesn't know what's happening. You went to China, you went to a masjid, and they're giving the khutbah in Chinese language. You wouldn't know a word what's happening. Though we don't understand Arabic, but we will be all comfortable with Arabic. We are at home when the khutbah is given in Arabic. So the same way the adhan, for example, if we want to use this argument, then adhan must be also given in the language the people understand. And when you, now somebody who is going to give the adhan in Indian language, somebody will give it in African language, somebody will give it in some Chinese language. Possible we ourselves, we laugh at this because we don't know what's happening. We don't understand and we'll make, but when it's given in Arabic, a Muslim who doesn't even know Arabic, but he's at home, he's comfortable, he knows azan is taking place. So our deen, as it has come, we must maintain it also. So in our salah, what a perfect, though we don't have Allahu Akbar, inshallah, every Muslim knows the meaning of it. But what a code word, the word that now go in ruku, now get up from your sajda, etc. Everything. At the end of namaz, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, and everyone makes salam. What a beautiful teaching our whole deen is. So anyway, this is a time when millions of people are gathered at Makkah Sharif and at Madinatul Munawwara, Allahu Akbar. 24 hours there also, continuously the people are just flowing past Rawdah Mubarak on everyone's tongue. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله. What a beautiful. And some people, when in tawaf they are making dua, you just stop with your own dua and you just say amin. You enjoy the dua they are making. What a beautiful dua. Sometimes people reading salat wa salam, the beautiful words they are using, and you just keep quiet and you say from my side also that same salat wa salam. So what do you think? And Allahu Akbar, in the Quran part it comes, وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. These people who did, who brought iman and made amal salihah, when they will enter Jannah, the first entertainment that they will get, the malaika will be making dhikr. And the enjoyment of the dhikr of the malaika which they will get. If any one of us, we were present, the tilawat of Quran Sharif we know. Shaykh Abdul Samad Abdul Basit Marhum is a legion. The whole world's Muslims, we just hear his voice and you go in a trance. How beautiful his recitation. In fact, on one occasion, Jamal Abdul Nasser was going to Russia for a political meeting. And he informed Sheikh Abdul Basit Abdul Samad, Marhum, that I want you to accompany me to go to Russia. So he was surprised. He said, if I go to a country where there are Muslims, and there I'll go and read Quran Sharif, people will appreciate Quran Sharif. Russia, atheist, not even Ahle Kitab, atheist they are. Why does he want to take me? But it was the order of the ruler, the president. He got ready, he went with. When they went there and the parliament sat and now they were going to have the discussion, Jamal Abdul Nasser said that first I brought a guest of mine, a friend of mine, and I want him to recite something, present something. He started reading Quran Sharif in Russia, in the parliament of Russia. Quran Sharif. What are those people going to, an atheist? Who don't believe in Allah Ta'ala, who deny Allah, who deny the existence of Allah. He read, mashallah, Shaykh Abdul Basit, who don't know his recital. After a little while, when he opened, lifted his head, he was amazed himself. Everyone was down in tears. This is Quran Sharif, which Allah has given us. What a kitab. Till today, when it is recited and recited beautifully, in the Haram of Makkah, when we hear the Imams reciting, in the Haram of Medina, we hear the Imams reciting, our hearts melt. And you feel as Fajr recitation, Maghrib recitation, Isha, you feel, you wish he just carries on and on. So, and those people who are fortunate and who are exposed to the majalis of dhikr and the sweetness of the name of Allah Ta'ala. One beautiful poem Allah blessed us with, that Allah, Allah, what a sweet name, sweeter than honey and sugar cane, the name of Allah Ta'ala. Allah, Allah, what a great name that destroys all desire for name and fame. This is all the Quran Sharif. And how many other beautiful, beautiful poems. Our Shaykh's one beautiful poem. Allah, Allah, kaisa pyara naam hai. Oh, Allah, your name is so lovable.
Your name is so lovable. Then you yourself, Allahu Akbar. The favors of Allah, the greatness of Allah, the mercy of Allah. For example, each one of us, I can perhaps say, would guarantee, what sins haven't we committed? But who covered it for us? Nobody else besides Allah. If those sins of ours were exposed to our wives, to our children, we shouldn't, today we go home, the children respect us. Abba, daddy, whatever, or grandfather, nana, nani, whatever it is. If our sins were exposed to them, they wouldn't respect us. Who covered our sins? None other but Allah. How merciful. If somebody knows your some weakness and he covers your sin, you are so thankful to him. This friend of mine never exposed my sins. He didn't let anyone know. He covered it. Allah knows every detail of ours. And we all know who of us can say, I'm an angel. I'm an angel. Nobody is an angel. How Allah, so what are the qualities of Allah Tabarak? How merciful and how kind is not Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala? So Allah Ta'ala, so what the name of Allah is so sweet. So a person who has been exposed to such zikr, what enjoyment he gets. Whether you call it the zikr, whether it's done within, in the limits of Sharia, whether it's the khaddad, whether it whatever, but it is the zikr in the correct way, what enjoyment a person doesn't get in that. So this is what Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala has blessed us with. So when the people of Jannat will enter, they will hear the zikr, and what enjoyment they will get. Also, those people, I'm sure there are many people here, that on Eid al-Fitr, the Eid after Ramadan, those of us who are present in Madinatul Munawwara, in the Masjid al-Nabawi, and from after Fajr, almost nobody goes home. Till the time of Salah, all are there. And that wonderful zikr, the whole Masjid is making. Everyone is reading the third kalima in that beautiful rhythm, in that beautiful tone. What a beautiful. So this is what Allah Ta'ala has given us. So the name of Allah, so this adhan, whatever it is, the adhan, all that, and the khutbah, everything, whether the Quran Sharif, when we listen to it, how beautiful, isn't it? So anyway, this is happening now, at this moment, and Makkah Sharif is vibrant at the moment. Makkah Sharif is abuzz with all the people making tawaf, Safa, Marwa, Madina Sharif, and the Salatu Salam that is carrying on. Every mu'min, our heart should be attached there. If we don't find our heart attached there, it's quite a poor reflection of our connection with our real markaz. Our real centers of our deen are Makkah Sharif and Medina Sharif. That is where our heart should be attached. And all the time, and especially at this time, when this occasion of Hajj is taking place, when the people of the world have been invited by Allah and they have responded, and they are there, we can't go, we are not going, we are here. And we should feel sad in our hearts, that, and it's not practical, everyone will go every year, but still, that sadness should be in my heart, that I'm not present there, and that desire should be there, that I must be there. And also very, very fortunate is that person who might be here in Cape Town, Johannesburg, Durban, anywhere in the world, but his heart is in Makkah Sharif, his heart is in Medina Sharif. And very sad it is of that person who might be in Makkah Sharif, who might be in Medina, but his heart is back home. In which way? We are more worried of the sports at that time. We are watching the TVs there also, and the soccer which is taking place, and the cricket that is... We are in Makkah Sharif, and we are worried about the soccer and the cricket of the world. We are worried of the politics of the world, and we are not, our heart is not there in Makkah Sharif and Medina Sharif. So one very basic necessity of our iman is that our heart should be connected with Makkah Sharif and Medina Sharif. May Allah bless us with this reality, inshallah. Amongst all the things of the Hajj, the arkan of the Hajj, one great thing which we all know is the udhiyah, qurban. Qurban is not an Indian word, it is an Arabic word. In the Quran Sharif, Allah speaks of it, qarraba qurbanan laka. And what does the meaning of qurban mean? To make a sacrifice to gain the pleasure of Allah, to gain proximity and closeness to Allah Ta'ala. So this we call it qurbani, call it udhiyah. If you're doing a camel, it is nahar. whatever it is. So one great part of Hajj is the sacrifice of the animal. And a little bit history of that, which is also very important for us to understand, that how did this come about, this the udhiya, the qurbani, the sacrifice of the animal. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, and there are great, great lessons that we have to learn from our great, great grandfather Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was primarily in Iraq, and there he was doing the tabligh of deen, inviting all the people, his own father. His father was actually a maker of idols, and who used to sell idols also. And the whole town, everyone was in idol worship. Allah had appointed Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam to call them to Tawheed, the oneness of Allah. And he explained to them the folly and the stupidity and idiocy of worshipping idols. That they used to carve out these idols with their own hands. In other words, a man makes his own god. And after he has made him, now he says, you are my god. You see to all my needs. That God cannot do, it couldn't come in existence on its own, that idol. And that, oh God, if you make it stand up, it stands up. You make it lie on this side, it lies, it can't do anything. And that God, you present food in front of it. The mice eat it, the flies eat it, but the God can't even eat it. And the flies who are taking that food, they can't even stop that fly. So what idiocy isn't there in idol worship? So, and this is totally wrong. It is the greatest sin to worship anything, anyone besides Allah Ta'ala. So Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was appointed to call them towards Tawheed, the oneness of Allah. And also, those the idols, today also, there are so many people who are still worshipping idols. But the modern idol is the one that is no more in the temple, but is the one that is in your heart. For example, a person believes that my shop does everything for me. My shop sustains me, gives me my rizq, gives me my sustenance. A person believes my job gives me my sustenance. A person believes medicine gives me cure. Then this is also the same, that idol. To understand this quite easily, if the imam or the mutawalli is the people in charge of the masjid, they have to put idols here in front. And you've carved out idols made out of gold. And when the musallis come for Jummah Salah, they tell all the musallis that these idols will fulfill all your needs. And they will see to whatever you want. Every Muslim will say, Tawbah, Tawbah, Astaghfirullah, Kufr, Shirk. Take out these idols from the masjid. There is not a temple, there is a masjid. No idols in the masjid. Well, fine, we understand. Take them out. Now that person goes and he melts that idols, and he makes Kruger reins out of them. And now when the people come for the next Juma, he gives everyone a Kruger rein. And he tells him, this will see to all your needs. You'll be able to buy your house, you'll be able to buy your car, you'll be able to live a comfortable life. That how many Kruger reins you want, 10, 20, 100, you just take them. Always, yes, this will do our work. So it's the same thing, but just in a different form. So we have to understand that those idols were useless. These idols are also useless. And all these, though, to understand also idol worship quite easily, in a simple way, is like a person who is paralyzed. He can't walk himself. He can't even sit in a wheelchair himself. And he tells another paralyzed person, you jump on my back and I'll take you across the N1. When the N1 is so busy, I'll take you across. You can't walk yourself, you can't even get onto a wheelchair. Where are you going to take somebody else? Or one blind person tells another blind person that you come, I will take you over the N1, we'll cross it at the time, peak hour traffic. I will take you to cross it. You can't cross yourself, how are you going to take somebody else? Exactly like that. If a person thinks my shop sustains me, leave the shop closed and see if it can sustain you. So what is the shop silently saying? You have to come open me. You have to put goods in me. You have to do all the operation, advertise, whatever. Then I will be able to function and make money. So the shop says, without you, I can't operate. And you say, without you, I can't operate. So it is exactly like one paralyzed person telling another paralyzed person, I'll help you. One blind person telling another blind person, your job. You go to for your job. and you tell your boss, you tell the boss tells you, if you don't come to job, this job is going to stand. Nothing is going to happen. So the boss can't do without you. And you tell the boss, if you don't pay me, I'm going to stand. Nothing, my children's school fees, my rental, my water and lights, nothing is going to get paid. So you dependent on him, he is dependent on you. One blind person dependent on another, what can that sort out our problems? If, for example, the Shosholoza from Cape Town is going to Johannesburg, going to Port Elizabeth, and when you go to the station, there's a dog sleeping under the train. Fast asleep, the train also is standing 1 hour, 2 hours. And the passengers come, everything. Now it's time for the train to move. And at that time, this dog also woke up. When the dog woke up, it started walking. And the train also started moving. The dog thought, as long as I was sleeping, the whole big train also was sleeping. It was standing still, it didn't move. When I started walking, the train also started moving. So I'm making the train move. And then, now when the dog became a bit fresh, it started running. The train also picked up speed. Now it's 100% convinced that when I started running, the train also picked up speed. But how long is the dog going to run? Very soon its tongue will be out of its mouth. It will be puffing and panting. It will go and lie on the side. The train will go right till Johannesburg, 1500 kilometers. The train will carry on. So many of us, we think, if I'm not there, what will happen to my family? How many people, one janaza kifayat just now took place. How many people who pass away, do the families die after that? Their shops just close down, their houses close down, and their families die. Life carries on. Who is the sustainer? Wahdahu la sharik. It's not me, it's not you. How many people, about 50 years ago, not so long, many of us must have seen what Cape Town was 50 years ago. Did we have this freeways and this byways? Did we have all this road infrastructure that we have got? Those people were in charge of roads at that time, 50 years. They say, if I don't go to job, people won't be able to travel on the roads. I have to go, my grader, I have to grade the road, I have to clean it. Many roads were still dirt roads, corrugated roads, not even tar roads. Hey, in that way, if I don't go and look after the roads, what will happen? But those people went to their graves. Did the road industry come to an end? In place of that, we got freeways, we got byways. What roads? If those people from their grave can see what roads there are now, they will be shocked what is happening. Many of us who came to this country, our forefathers, what did they have? They were slaves. They were. They used to go and sell what? Fairy farwano? Hawk. They were hawkers. What were they? And today, if they have to see their grandchildren and great-grandchildren doing import-export trade, if they have to see their businesses, what they have got, the housewife of that time, her little kitchen dresser was a blue bar soap box. She just put that, and that was her kitchen dresser. That were the kitchen units. And that grandmother, if she have to see her great-granddaughter, what kind of kitchen units you have. So the world is not stopping, it's not coming to an end. The world is moving. We are coming to an end. We go to our graves. So it's very important that our correct belief also must be there. That tawheed in the oneness of Allah Ta'ala is absolutely essential. And this is the occasion of Hajj, where that must strengthen us. A person who prepares his spiritual Hajj, and he goes, he gets strengthened. So from the spiritual Hajj, one great aspect is the sacrifice, udhiyah, qurban. And look at this also, that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, when he was being thrown into the fire, when he invited his people, they did not want to believe. Finally, he broke their idols also. And when the idols were broken, Allahu Akbar, there is another very great lesson for us to learn. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, what he has taught mankind. There were three occasions when he spoke an apparent lie, which wasn't really a lie, but an apparent lie. The one was when he broke the idols. He saw these idols, let these people come to their senses and see what they are worshipping, they're all broken. So if the idol can't look after itself, where is it going to look after? What kind of a God have you got? When they came and they said, all the idols are broken. Who broke in? Investigation. Top investigation. They found prime suspect, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Because they heard one, they caught him on his cell phone, on his stalking somewhere, that he said that, I'm not going for the worship which they were going out of town to celebrate some of their celebrations. And he said, Ana Saqim, I am ill. He was spiritually ill. So he said that I can't go. He's a prime suspect. So they caught him, his first suspect, and they interrogated, Man fa'ala hadha bi'alihatina? Ya Ibrahim, who is this who broke our idols, O Ibrahim? So he said that, Kabiruhum hadha, fasalu, that this big idol, and he left the chopper around the neck of the big idol. He said the evidence is complete. All the idols are broken, the big idol is standing, and the chopper is lying on by him, the weapon there to for the destruction. He's also there, it must be him. So they understood, and he explained to them, you can see this idols can't do anything. But they did not want to accept. Anyway, this was an apparent lie. He didn't speak a lie. They asked him who broke it. He said, it looks like it's this big idol here. The other occasion was when they were going out for their worship to the jungles, out of town they were going. They told, you join us. He said, Ana Saqim, I am sick. I am ill. And what he meant spiritually, that I see the condition of my people. What is their condition? I'm ill. I can't take this. So that was true. The third occasion was when he married his wife Sarah, radiallahu ta'ala anha. And he was going with her. He was passing some land where there was a king who was in charge of that, who was the king of that place. And he had this bad habit that whenever there is a newly wed wife, he would want to use that wife. But if it was your sister, your mother, your family, then he allows you to go through. So he asked Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, his newly wed wife, who is this? So he said, Hadhihi ukhti Sarah. This is my sister, Sarah. And he was speaking the truth. But apparently, it was his wife. But he's a Muslim sister. So he said, this is my sister. The Quran mentioned only two occasions. That is, that who broke this idols, that is mentioned in the Quran. And that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam said, I'm sick, that the Quran mentions. But about my sister Sarah, that the Quran did not mention. The Mufassirin, the ulama, give the reason why Allah mentioned those two occasions in the Quran and not this one. The reason is those two, he did 100% with sincerity. Because the people are worshipping idols and all that. So he said that I'm sick. That this big idol looks like he broke it. But about his wife, Sarah, naturally, every man has got that in him. How can somebody else even look at my wife with an evil intention? How can somebody touch my wife with an evil intention? So his own share was also there. So therefore, and Allah wants ikhlas of that level. That is the one great lesson that we have to learn of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And sincerity and ikhlas doesn't just fall from the air. Just by saying I'm sincere, it doesn't make you sincere. Or by telling somebody else you are a hypocrite, you're not sincere, doesn't make that person a hypocrite. لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ حَقِيقًا. There is reality for everything. And we have to find out the reality. So to build up this sincerity and amal, actions that will be accepted by Allah on the day of Qiyamah, is not by the amount, the quantity, but by the quality, how much of sincere. Therefore, Imam Shafi'i, rahmatullah alayhi, says, every person must have some such amal, actions. Even if they are in the level of mustahab and nafil, they are not faraz and wajib also, they are just mustahab and nafil, but which nobody knows about. Not your wife knows, nobody knows about that amal. Such amal will help you very greatly on the day of Qiyamah. Because on the day of Qiyamah, value of things will be by sincerity. So anyway, all this we learn from Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. So when they catapulted him into, when they lit this fire, a huge fire, to this, that is what they decided, we must burn Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. He has broken our idols, he has humiliated us, he has disgraced us, we must give him this terrible punishment. And that fire was so big, and the heat of it was so intense, they couldn't go near enough to even throw Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam in. So what a caterpillar, what a cannon, from far, they flung him into the fire. And see also a very, very important lesson, especially at this time, this juncture which the ummah is going through, a very important lesson, that Allah Ta'ala did not make that fire a garden before time. But if it was before time, Namrud the king, he should have jumped in himself also. That if it's a garden, I will jump in. But when did, and Allahu Akbar. Not only when did Allah make it a garden, before that, when they're getting Ibrahim alayhi salam ready to catapult him, to throw him into the fire, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam takes permission from Allah ta'ala. That, oh Allah, your Khalil, your friend, and he's going to be burning in the fire, that I want to go and help him if you give me permission. Allah said, no problem, you can go. He goes there and he offers his help to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. What does just, this is Tawheed. That what I was just speaking, which level of Tawheed Allah wants. And when does Allah ta'ala's help comes? This Tawheed, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam asked Jibreel alayhi salam, does not Allah know my condition? Of course Allah knows your condition. Cannot Allah help me? Of course Allah can help me. If that is the case, he is enough for Tawheed, oneness of Allah. He is enough. Farishta, Jibreel, the angel, came with the permission of Allah. And he came to help, and it wasn't shirk, it wasn't haram to take the help of Jibreel alayhi salam. But see that level of tawheed and tawakkul on the oneness of Allah. He says, imma ilayk fala, I don't need your help. When my Allah knows my condition, and he has got qudrat and power over everything, and he can help me, I don't need your help in that case. Who of us, at such a time, we'll take the whichever little straw we can get help from and who can help us, we will take that help. So anyway, now they catapult Ibrahim alayhi salam. The time when he needs the fire, at that split second, Allah changes it into a garden. This is Allah. And also Allah's their help comes, to when does it come? The Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam in the Quran, not the Anbiya, the Rasuls, hatta idha stay asur rusul. When the Rasuls also sort of, if we were in that place, we should have lost hope. And we should have stay asa. That they became mayus. They lost hope in Allah. That like today we are saying, where is Allah's help? What's happening in Syria? What is happening to our Muslim sisters? What's happening to the little children? What's happening in Egypt? What's happening in Iraq, in Afghanistan? Where is Allah? Where is the help of Allah? So these conditions are not today. They came all the time. And when that happened, and they say, Mata Nasrullah. When is the help of Allah going to come? What's happening? Thousands, millions of people are making dua, crying in front of Allah. When is the help of Allah coming? When person has got that iman. That is what we have to work for. We are shouting again in the Quran Sharif. Allah Ta'ala says, وَعَفُ عَنَّا وَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَرَحَمْنَا أَنْتَ مَوْلَانَا. When we make tawbah of our sins, and we come out of all our evil, then comes the end. فَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ. But when we are drowned in sin, and we don't, and the sin that we are drowned in, one biggest sin that we don't regard that sin as sin. We think like the non-believers. We live like the non-believers. Our dressing, our lifestyle. We are not interested in Islamic education for ourselves, for our children. University degrees we are worried about. People want to do their PhDs. And what is a PhD? Permanent head damage. When we get permanent head damage. All these things that we give preference to that. When people do their PhDs in Darwin's theory of evolution, they believe their forefather was a monkey. What an evil belief they've got. How did the world come into existence? With a big bang. With a small bang, this glass here, if I have to drop it on the tiles on a concrete floor, just from here, there will be a small bang. But will that make the glass or break the glass? The glass will break. They say a huge bang, the big bang took place and everything fell into place perfectly. That the whole human was made and the human alone, how he functions. The functioning of the heart, how the ventricles open and close by the split second. If there is a little fault, you got a problem, you are a dead man. Your blood, one drop of blood flows in the human body 100,000 kilometers a day. And just let it get stuck one place. And there you got a clot. Now your heart, you got a problem, you got a heartache. If that clot is with your brain, you got a stroke. Brain hemorrhage you got. You are finished. What is the system? And that's only the human, and that is not even 1/1,000,000,000th of the human being. Then the whole world, the birds that are flying, the ants that are moving, the elephants that are moving, Allahu Akbar. The sun, the moon, the rising, the setting of the sun, the blowing of the winds, the coming down of rain. What is the qudrat of Allah? So great is Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. So Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala is the one who is, so that Tawheed Allah wants, that you believe in Allah, that imma ilayk falah. And then we will see in this world at this moment how Allah changes the conditions. And also, so what we have to do is work on our iman, is correct ourselves. For that we have got this Islahi Jalsa, so that a person can correct himself, bring his life in order. Mufti Taqi Usmani, Damat Barakatum, has given a beautiful example. He says the world, the whole world, like today, all of us, our hearts are bleeding what is happening in Syria, what is happening in Egypt. There isn't a Muslim who can be happy. Our hearts are bleeding and we are wishing that the time can come that Muslims have, the Ikhwanul Muslimin in Egypt, all these people, they come to power in Tunisia, everywhere what is happening. But Mufti Taqi Usmani gives a beautiful example. He says you want Islam to come in the whole world. Many places people are marching also, and they say bring Islam alive, we want Islamic government. The whole Ikhwanul Muslimin in Egypt, what they, how lot they protested, how much, bring Mursi back again, we want him back again, we want Islamic Brotherhood to come. All that is in order, your aspirations are wonderful, our method is not correct. What he says, the correct method, you want Islam to come, there is no difference of opinion, that we are all united and unanimous, we all want Islam. But how to bring Islam? So what a beautiful example Mufti Saab gives. He says that your body from head to toe is like one country, in which there are so many provinces. South Africa got 9 provinces, some other countries, whatever amount of provinces. Your brains, your head is one province. Your eyes is one province. Your tongue is one province. Your hands, legs, all your parts of the body, one province. And you are the president of this country without election also. You don't even have to canvass for votes or anything. You, from birth to death, you are the president of your body. You in charge of your body. And you got no opposition also. And so you don't have to worry, you want to pass a law and your opposition sabotage you. And they don't allow you to, what good you want to do for your country, they don't allow it to take place. Like what happened to the Ikhwanul Muslimin, all the people under sabotaged all the programs of the Ikhwanul Muslimin. So you got no opposition also. So all you do, which is within your means, that you bring Islam in your brains. You think like a Muslim. You bring Islam in your eyes. You look at how a Muslim should look. Don't be greedy about what other people got. Don't look at somebody else's wife, somebody else's daughter, sister. Don't look down upon somebody. Don't have hatred and jealous and malice for anybody. You bring Islam in your tongue. Don't swear, don't backbite, don't be vulgar. You clean your tongue, keep your tongue clean. You bring Islam in your ear. Don't listen to music. The people who will enter Jannat and listen to the beautiful zikr of the Malaika. Those who listen to music in this world, they will be deprived of that. They won't be allowed to listen to that. So don't listen to music, whether it's your ringtone on your phone also. Don't listen to this music, etc. Stop all these things. Then your hands, use them according to Islam. Your legs, use them according to Islam. And Islam will come alive in the whole world. If every Muslim, just for him, and for that you don't need a big budget, that we have to ask people to give us millions of rands. No, you don't need a cent for this. You don't have to have big, big buildings to build a big Darul Uloom, a big Khanqah, a big Tablighi Markaz or anything. You don't need any of that also. You just bring Islam in your life. For that you don't need anything else whatsoever. You don't need the government support also. You don't need anyone. Every person can do this. But unfortunately, there is a simple solution, but we are too sophisticated. And simple solutions don't mean anything to us. Common sense is so common that it doesn't make sense to anyone. The notice on the notice board is so common that nobody notices the notice board. notices. This is our condition. These things which are simple, and Islam is not a religion of big conventions and seminars. Islam is a simple down to earth deen. Bring it in your life. So if we will do this, Islam will come alive in the world. But unfortunately, it just hardly goes in one ear, forget coming out from the other ear. We don't pay any attention. We don't give it a second thought. We leave the masjid, we'll meet our friends, we start talking, and all this is out of our mind. Fortunate are those people who will go home and recap this. Tell the family. Today this was in the bayan. This was spoken about. These are the things that we have to do. Then hopefully we'll start somewhere. And then tomorrow at work, tell your other friends. Go and tell at least 10 people this, that we can bring Islam alive in the world without any effort of any type. Everyone just make the small little effort on his own, which is within our means, which we can do, and Islam will become alive. So anyway, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is catapulted into the fire. The fire doesn't burn him. Allahu Akbar. This occasion of Udhiyah are great lessons. One is this whole, the histories of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. That fire, we know the work of fire is to burn. But fire cannot burn without the creator of fire's command. If Allah gives it command to burn, it will burn. If Allah said, Kunu bardan wa salaman ala Ibrahim. O fire, you become cool. And not cold and you deep freeze my Ibrahim. No, you become cool and comfortable for him. If you just see Allah's commands also. If Allah only said, Kuni bardan, become cold. You should have become a deep freeze. Poor Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam should have been deep frozen in that cold. But Allah Ta'ala said, Wudat was salaman ala Ibrahim, and comfortable also. So this is the command. When we will be putting the knife on our animal to slaughter, also realize which is the command. Sharpen that knife. That is sunnah. Do it. But your yaqeen, your iman, that the knife cannot cut. When Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam put the knife on his son, Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, and with all his force and might, and that he wanted to do this, it was Allah's command, I must do it quickly. But with all his force and might, it's not cutting. So to say, a poet says that, oh knife, you cut, and you cut so easily. And the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, their bodies are the most delicate and most tender. It's not hard, they haven't got crocodile skin, or they haven't got elephant hide. It is the most delicate, it will cut so easily. But you are not cutting, I'm putting all my force. So to say, the knife replies and says, oh Ibrahim, must I listen to you or must I listen to the Lord of Ibrahim? Allah told me not to cut, no matter what force you put, I can't cut. That yaqeen must be in our hearts. Have we got that yaqeen? Today we feel, if I don't have a matric certificate, I won't get my rosy. I won't get my sustenance. My children don't go to school. They don't learn English. They don't learn Afrikaans. From where are they going to eat? Tell matric who fed them. We say without matric certificate you can't live. So tell matric who fed you. You didn't have a matric certificate, who fed you? You didn't have a university degree, who fed you? Allah is the one who feeds. So that yaqeen is part of this whole thing. Anyway, Ibrahim, another great lesson. When he comes out of the garden now, and the king saw, hidayat is only in the hands of Allah. This is a thing where the people, they saw with their eyes this happening. And according to us, everyone, I should bring iman. But remember, iman is not in our hands. It is whom Allah gives. And from that, each one of us, every Muslim, no matter how weak Muslims we are, if we spend our whole life making sajda to Allah to thank Him, it's not enough. Do this, that we have got iman, that la ilaha illallah is on our tongue. We are sitting in the masjid now after Maghrib on this Thursday night. It is nothing else but the favor and the graces and the kindness of Allah Ta'ala. Otherwise we would never. Bilal radiyallahu ta'ala anhu used to say that I make and every day make the shukr that, oh Allah, you kept hidayat in your hands. He used to say, oh Allah, if hidayat was in the hands of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he should let Abu Lahab become a Muslim. He should push me one side. He should let Abu Jahl become a Muslim. They're his uncles. Everyone got feeling. But hidayat is in your hands. You brought Bilal from Abyssinia and you made him a Muslim. Hey, so hidayat is in the hands of Allah. So how much Allah, but the fazilat, the virtues of this ummah are so great we cannot imagine. When our eyes will close, which really means when our eyes will open, then we will know what this ummah of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For example, one great scholar, Hazrat Maulana Qasim Nanotwi rahmatullahi, he says that in beautiful poems in the praises of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that, oh Allah, you have given this ummah one great discount, that the ummah commits sins on the earth while the malaika in the heavens are making dua and maghfirat for them, asking for them for forgiveness. We are sinning, and the malaika for this ummah, they are asking for forgiveness. In another beautiful couplet he says, oh Allah, this ummah, you have favored them so much, and it's not far-fetched, ajab nahi, it's not far-fetched, that on the day of Qiyamah, you will immediately convert the sins of this ummah into good deeds. All because of the sadaqah of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This doesn't give anyone license to commit sin, but to appreciate which ummah Allah has put us in. And also we should fear Sayyidina Abu Bakr, the greatest man, Ba'ad al-Anbiya bi-Tahqeeq. After all the Anbiya, the greatest man on the surface of the earth, Sayyidina Abu Bakr. Ashara Mubashara, the first of the Khulafai Rashideen. But what is his condition? Oh Allah, I wish I was a bird. Oh Allah, I wish I was a blade of grass. I was one leaf. This is that fear that we should have. But undoubtedly Allah has given this ummah, and no matter how, and when that is the case, ask ourselves how much salawat do we read on our Nabi. And salawat on a Friday from Maghrib now till tomorrow Maghrib, we should increase. How many of us read salawat? And we should be die hearts for the way of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Our dressing, our lifestyle should be everything for the education Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought. The Quran's education, the Hadith education. We, our children, we should be die hearts for this. In Cape Town, there should be 20 Darul Ulooms. Joburg, there should be 50 Darul Ulooms. But what, there are only a few. And the minute one more Darul Ulooms, we all got so many mushrooming. So many Darul Ulooms. But universities, colleges, computer centers, nobody got a complaint that they mushrooming. So many are coming up. Businesses, new and new, are coming up. No problem. For deen, whenever one small matter, little bit more is done, not more, still so little, we all got a big problem. Hey, when it is for deeni matters, we got a problem. Dunya's matters, no problem. No matter what you spend for dunya, in haram of dunya, nobody has got a problem. Your daughter, my daughter, your son, my son is born 1 month old, 1 week. If somebody puts on a tobe for him, a kurta, jubba, everyone, from now you're making look like an old man, so pious you're making a little girl. You put on a burqa for her. You put on a muqna for her. Everyone got a problem. Just now, in a family, the mother told the daughter-in-law, see, I don't want children now. Controlling the children, mother-in-law. That is from Allah's side. And when your child is born, I don't want all this burqa and scarf business. I don't want that nonsense for my children. This is our attitude. When deeny things are nonsense, and you dress them like a Christian child, you dress them like a Hindu child, you dress them like a Jewish child, no problem, acceptable by good people, by pious people, then that is the in thing. So when this is our condition, and we're saying, when is Allah's help going to come? Correct ourselves first. And this is what the Islahi Jalsa is. That we become conscious at least. Tawbah, istighfar will come still afterwards. And changing our lives will come afterwards. This is at least that our sense, our thinking, our direction at least comes right. Today our thinking is in the wrong direction. We are so happy with the kuffar sports. We can't do, and Allahu Akbar. We will notice here outside our masjid, every masjid, a group of youngsters, they can't sit for kitab reading, ta'aleem taking place in the masjid. They are picking the South African cricket team. And who's going to listen to them? They are picking the soccer team. And that player, no, he can't be picked because this of his weakness. That, what all peanut gallery talks, yeah. And what has that got to do with anything? And somebody has said very beautifully that after Salat, don't join the PPC. What is the PPC? Pavement Panchayat Club. What is the pavement pavement? We all know footpath. Panchayat, all gossip. That club, don't join that club. that after, especially Ramzan, Taraweeh, then we join that club, and there's only one condition to join that, one requisite, that agarbatti. Your cigarette must be there. You go up there, light up. And you start with your cigarettes. And this imam read too fast. That one made too many mistakes. That one was too slow. All whatever we gathered, we lose it out. And we are now choosing the cricket team. Who's going to listen to you? Who asked you also? What value has that? But we are big now. We got authority. And we are choosing this, and we, Allahu Akbar. And our deen, we can't read one durood, one salawat we can't read. We're making sins, we're committing sins more than factory, big factory, production of sins. And no tawbah, no istighfar, no reconciliation, no balancing of our accounts. Only committing sins left, right and center. Sins from our eyes, sins from our minds, looking down upon this one. How we treat our wives, how we treat our children, our workers, right in us. We are so sinful, and we still think I'm the best Muslim. And South African Muslims like to pride themselves, we are the best Muslims in the world. Our condition is still so weak. So anyway, this sacrifice, this udhiyah, should be an occasion of great lessons for us. And then when Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is going to slaughter his son, Shaitan, our arch enemy, who is there always, and he said, Allah Ta'ala said, Inna Shaitana lakum aduvum mubina. He is an open enemy. He doesn't hide his enmity. One is an enemy who is like a munafiq, a hypocrite in front of you. He's very sweet, but he's actually your enemy. He's a snake in the grass. But Shaitan doesn't act like that. He's your open enemy. So Allah Ta'ala said, be careful. So Shaitan, Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he got the command, Inni ara fil manam, anni azbahuka, fanzur madha tara. Oh my son Ismail, Allah has commanded me, I must slaughter you. What? Tell me, what is your opinion? He wasn't making mashura. He was not taking his opinion. He was taking his imtihan, his test. He was testing him that to see what is his level of iman. Dr. Iqbal, the famous poet of the East, he says on this occasion, was it the blood of the father, or was it the tarbiyat, the training of the mother, and the education of the mother, that Ismail alayhi salam, a young boy, perhaps 12, 13 years old, فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ مَعَوْ السَّعْيَ, he passed with flying colors. What was it that he passed with this flying colors? The mother is responsible for the upbringing, the children are the mother all the time. And the blood of the father has got effect on the child, great effect on the child. What we are, who the child is going to be. Hey, we eat junk food, the child will be a junkie. We eat khajur of Makkah, Medina Sharif, the child will be a Madani. We drink the zamzam of Makkah, the child will be a Makki. But if we have eating junk food, and that blood is made with junk food, and that semen, then you expect a junkie. We blame the children of today, but we have to see what we are ourselves. The blame is not on the children of today, the blame is on the parents of today. We not worried about, we got no time for our children. How many parents don't know in which school, which madrasa they, in most of the Islamic schools, I just verified it again, in grade 9, standard 7, they're teaching the children Darwin's theory of evolution, which is kufr, open kufr. Are we sending our children? We paying big exorbitant amounts for this to be taught to our children. We don't know. We have got too busy with our business. We are too busy with our own other things. We got no time for our children. We claim we love our children, but actually we are pushing them into the fire of Jahannam. We don't understand what kufr beliefs they are getting. We were in Buenos Aires in Argentina. We were just sitting casually after Asr or something, and one student who was studying at university asked him, we got talking, studying history. So I said, okay, you're studying history, from where does man, a Muslim man, where does man come from? He thought little while, he says, well, Darwin's theory of evolution. That is his belief. A Muslim who's grown up, who's at university, his belief is not that Allah created us, but by Darwin's theory of evolution. Then I asked him, how did the world come into existence? Again he thought little while, he said, well, the Big Bang story. That is how the world, whereas Allah created the entire world and everything by His command. So we don't know in us how many people, our children, especially at university, the Shia infiltration, the Salafi infiltration, the Qadiani infiltration, and we are happy, my child, One of our good friends who comes regularly to our majlis. He invited us once for meals. We were sitting. He brought his son. He's going to university. I told him, don't send him to university. Make him an alim. But it's not easy today. Anyway, he went. That same boy today is a strong propagator of Shiaism to other people. All their videos, all their cassettes, the CDs, he's distributing it. Outwardly, he still makes salam at home, he's dressing, he's good to his parents, he comes for salat in the masjid, but inside the heart, and by Allah, what counts? وَحُصِّلَ مَا فِي الصُّدُورِ. What is in the heart is going to be taken out. Not outwardly that we see the boy, mashallah, he's alright. But inside, and today we don't know our own children, whether we are breeding our friends and our supporters, or we are breeding our own enemies in our own homes. It is very, very important parents have time for their children. So this sacrifice is an occasion of great, great lessons. That Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, Allahu Akbar. What does Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam tell his father? Oh my father, you are my father. The love of a father for his son naturally, blood flows. Blood is thicker than water. When you'll have to slaughter me, it's going to be very hard for you. Perhaps your love overcomes you and you won't be able to slaughter me. So sharpen the knife properly. And then he says, blindfold yourself so that our eyes don't meet. You see your son and you are now going to slaughter him. They can perhaps put you off track. And then it tells finally that, oh my dear father, we forgot to bring a kafan for me. My kurta is still, my thobe, my jubba is still properly. Take it off and you can use that as my kafan. At that time Allah sends Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah asks for sacrifice, Allah does not take sacrifice. Allah wants to see our preparedness to sacrifice. Today for the animal, it's too much, it's too expensive this year. That we are not going to make our sacrifice this year. Too much money. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Sahaba asked, ma hadhil adahi? What is this Qurbani story about? What is it all? Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam said, sunnatu abikum Ibrahim. It is the way of your forefather Ibrahim. It is to revive that occasion. And Allahu Akbar. The people of the world, no matter how intelligent they count themselves, for any great event, how do they celebrate it? They make a monument. And people go and visit the monument. Allah made this great celebration of Islam, not a monument. That you go to Mina and you see there's a big monument that Ibrahim alayhi salam got the ram or his son and he's about to slaughter it. Allah made every Muslim a living a part of this great sacrifice. That with your own hands you sacrifice. And so much so the command is in our fiqh, in our sharia, that a woman who can slaughter, she must slaughter her own animal. She must be prepared to slaughter. A Muslim al-mu'min al-qawi khayru min al-mu'min al-da'if. A strong mu'min is better than a weak Muslim. Wa fi kulli khayr. And in all there is goodness. So a woman also should be able to slaughter. Today we as men, we can't slaughter a chicken. We don't know how to slaughter a chicken. We don't know whether we must slaughter the throat or the neck we must slaughter. We don't know. These are part of the Quran speaks explicitly and in many places of ithkhan. Ithkhan. What is ithkhan? To let the blood flow. Today the kuffar, and remember, they are studying Quran more than what we are studying. And the leaders in this field are the Germans. In the Germany, every field, whether it is law, whether it is marital law, social law, business law, mercantile law, every aspect of Islam, they study it in great detail. And they only give it a different color. And they know that Islam is the true religion. But hidayat is in the hands of Allah Ta'ala. When Allah will give hidayat, they will get hidayat. But they are studying all this. And in detail they are studying. So every aspect of Islam, so this ithkhan, they have taken it over. Today we are frightened to even take the word jihad. You want to talk even the word jihad, take out your cell phone, take out the battery from it also. They must be listening to what we are saying. We are frightened to talk about mujahideen. We are frightened to talk about the basic concepts of Islam. They have put so much fear into us. Whereas this was actually, this ithkhan in its detail means, Muslims should have put this fear into their hearts. But today we are like puppets. We are sitting ducks for them. We are useless. We can't do anything for the ummah of Nabi, for ummati of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah, look at the handful of Sahaba in Badr. Look at the handful of Sahaba in Uhud. What they had, that iman was. And part of that whole building of that iman is making qurbani, udhiyah, sacrifice with your own hands. Don't send it away to Malawi. Well and good you send it. Don't send it away to Mozambique, to anywhere else in the world. At least make your own sacrifice at home. Let the whole family get involved. Don't think that my kitchen units, there mustn't be a drop of blood on my kitchen unit. This Eid, on this Eid for a person, if he's wearing his wonderful white thobe and his jubba and his clean and that. The example of that is like a person who's going hunting with a three-piece suit, with a tie also and a hat also. Yeah, how odd it looks, you are hunting and you're going like that. On Eid's day, this Eid, to be clean and tidy is like, this Eid is a day when you are in your vest, when you got your lungi or your trouser and it's stained with blood, etc. Of course, for salah, you'll bath and wear clean clothes. But this is how a mu'min, this Eid. And this Hajj, al-Hajjo, al-Ajjo, wa-Thajjo. The best Hajj which Allah loves is your hair is this heaven. Today, Allahu Akbar, our good ulama, hey, when we have become girlish, we go and bath, now our perfume is there, our brush is there, our mirror is there, our perfume, our roll-ons, our mum. For men, all these things, hey, that is for women. But we have become a man, a Muslim is rough and tough. Hey, he's a mujahid. He's not a person who's worried about all this. All the time combing our hair, hey, and worried about our hair. Wearing earrings. Men wearing rings and all. A Muslim is not supposed to be like that. A man. Al-mu'minul qawi khayru min al-mu'minul dha'if. We should have these qualities. This qurban, the sacrifice of this Eid, udhiyah, is to learn this lesson. And Allah put the whole ummah, the rich make qurbani, sacrifice. The poor go to qane wal-mu'tar. When these people attend, so let the poor come and help also. Give them also meat. And don't give them only the leftovers. Don't give them only the head and the legs and the stomach of the animal. And the fat which we are in any case not going to eat. And we say this poor people, they also need food. So give, and remember, this sacrifice is not a charity. Charity is another department of deen. Many of us, we become philanthropic at this time. That these poor people, they don't get meat sent to Malawi. They don't need meat once a year only. If you really got that feeling, send every month for them. That is a charity separate. Sacrifice is a different. And every ibadat in our deen, salah tanha anil fahshai wal munkar. If you are making salat, not exercise, you will get saved from evil acts and lewd and horrible acts which we are committing in privacy, you will get saved. Fasting, if we fast and not stay hungry, we are fasting, we are keeping puasa, which is in the true sense, la'allakum tattaqun, taqwa will come into you. Zakat, if you are giving, not you just giving a charity, even non-Muslims give charity, if you are giving your zakat, your love for wealth will go out of you. Your love of akhirat will come into your heart. And you will start doing more actions and you will do it happily for Allah's pleasure. Hajj, the love of Allah will fall into your heart. This sacrifice, qurbani, look, if we have a jigsaw puzzle, if one piece is missing, your puzzle is not complete. So you can be doing all your ibadah, but this is not being done. Your sacrifice, you are not slaughtering yourself, or you're not making it at all. There is a deficiency. To have a balanced diet, you need proteins also, you need carbohydrates also, you need calcium also, you need magnesium also. How many things you need? You have to have all the foods, then you're going to be a healthy person. So every ibadah has got a specific purpose. You can't just do one type of ibadah and neglect another. So there is a very great ibadah. May Allah bless us with this understanding and bring this reality of sacrifice into our lives. Time is gone, but very shortly, how kind Allah has been. The sacrifice was actually an ibadat of Mina, of ibadat of Hajj. Allah made it for the whole world, for the rich and the poor, for everyone, gift to everyone also. Then at this time, all those Hajjis who are in ihram, Allah gave us also a ihram. In which way? A small ihram. That from the first of Dhul Hijjah, which is most probably Monday, till you slaughter your animal, those who are going to cut animals, don't cut your nails. Don't remove any hair from your body. This Allah gave us a small ihram. They are all reading labbaik. the greatest Allah gave us. Read the third kalima, fourth kalima, Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, Allah ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. Read this in abundance. So Allah gave us what a similarity. Allah wanted us to affiliate with the hajjis. But we live indifferent of them, as though no hajj is carrying on. Somebody is going, Allahu Akbar. Somebody going, we don't get the tawfiq of saying, convey my salams to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Haven't we got any affiliation with our Nabi? Haven't we got any connection with him? Oh, very good. Don't forget to bring me that attar from that shop. And don't forget to bring me that watch from that shop. All those things we are worried. But what connection we got? May Allah give us the reality of our deen. For that is this Islahi Jalsa. Come to bring other people also. Inshallah, over from Friday to Sunday, we will benefit tremendously. And there are many eye openers that will come. And we don't know where Allah will just change our lives. From what will be said, by who it will be said, when and how. And Allah brings a change in our lives. May Allah make it a reality, inshallah. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Oh Allah, accept all that has been said and that has been heard. Oh Allah, make it a reality in our lives. What had to be said and was not said, Oh Allah, you put it in our hearts. Oh Allah, Oh Allah, grant every Muslim, grant every person in the world that Iman in Islam which you are pleased with. Let us live by that Iman in Islam. Let us die by that Iman in Islam. Oh Allah, give us maqbool tawbatan nasuha from each and every sin of ours. Oh Allah, whoever may be in whatever difficulty, whether it's a health problem, a financial problem, fights in fights, whether it is anyone's, any type of work not getting done, whoever has got a problem, Oh Allah, you remove all our problems. Give us all the goodness of deen, dunya and akhirat. Wa sallallahu ala al-nabiyyi al-ummi, subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun ala al-mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.